All right, what is going on, Laker fans? Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll talk like Lakers basketball for one straight hour. Kobe Price covers the Lakers for the OC Register. He's going to join us at about 7:30. If you're out driving around or listening on YouTube or listening on the podcast, on the ESPN LA podcast, appreciate you guys being a part of the show. You can always call in if you got some thoughts on Lakers basketball, 877-710-ESPN. Okay, some man, we were all distracted there listening to Sedano and Cap. In the background, you have the game going on of the Knicks and the Pacers. So 118-117, 22 seconds left to go. We'll keep you guys updated on that. I'm sure Laker fans that are tuned in are also NBA fans. So any update I get there, I'll make sure to pass that on. Okay, so let's start off with this. Last time I did Lakers talk was a week ago tomorrow. Lakers were eliminated a week ago Monday night against the Denver Nuggets in Denver. And then, Lakers talk was the next day. I think everybody was expecting that Darvin Ham was going to eventually get fired. I know I talked about it. I know right after that game ended, there was already reports that were out there. And it was just kind of a matter of time. And the question was going to be, was this going to happen? Was it going to happen earlier? Was it going to happen after the weekend, before the weekend, whatever the case was going to be? And then obviously we got our answer. The answer was no, it was going to happen. It happened on Friday, so I don't think really any surprises or shocks there. Darvin Ham fired. Once it felt like, and I think for me, and I don't want to really get into the should he have got fired and what led to this. I think we've kind of already done that, and I don't really think there's that much purpose to do it. Now, I have heard some people over the last couple of days all of a sudden defending Darvin Ham, which is a little bit interesting. I felt like there was a consensus out there that, yeah, Lakers should probably move on from the coach. Not to say that Darvin Ham was awful, but go back to after game two. Lakers, Denver Nuggets, to me, I thought what was the most telling about Darvin Ham and his potential is whether he was going to stay as the Lakers head coach or whether the Lakers were going to eventually move on. I think a lot of that had to do with how were the players, what were the players going to say about Darvin Ham? And after game two against the Nuggets, we all know that Anthony Davis, just that I would call it a pretty probably the biggest quote that I heard all season long after game two when he says, we have stretches where we don't know what we're doing on both ends of the floor. Everybody heard that. Everybody ran with that. We ran it with all of our shows. Travis and Sliwa's show, pregame show, I was talking about it. You know, of course, all the other shows on the station as well. That's a big-time quote. That felt like one of your star players clearly does not believe in your head coach. There was a story that came out on ESPN. Ramona Shelburne did a great job talking about how early on with the Lakers, when, if you guys remember, early in the season, very, very early in the season, there were two things that I think stuck out to me early in the season. Number one, Darvin Ham wanted Anthony Davis to shoot 6 threes a game. That became a story. And also, the Lakers were going to try some type of minutes restriction on LeBron James. That was part of the story that Ramona had out. And it didn't take very long for LeBron to basically squash that and say, yeah, that ain't happening. I think they want to keep him around 28, 30 minutes a game. He averaged 35 minutes during the game. I think as the season wore on, I do believe that it was at sometimes it was telling that, all right, I think this might be Darvin Ham's last year with the Los Angeles Lakers. Certainly when the Lakers were struggling at their peak, I remember having home games and certain reporters coming out, questions being asked, hey, do you feel like your job is on the line? I mean, that was going on in January. Is that fair? Probably not, but I think that comes with the territory of the Los Angeles Lakers job. And I'm not telling you that I agree with it. I'm just saying that does come with the territory. It also comes with the territory of coaching LeBron James. I mentioned this. A lot of the media in these last couple of days said it was not Darvin Ham's fault, or maybe they were trying to say it's not all Darvin Ham's fault. Okay, that's fine. The players, should the players take more responsibility? Of course they should. LeBron and Anthony Davis, of course they should. I think there were times where Anthony Davis, just look at the series against Denver, just look at Game 5, some availability there in the playoffs or some areas of the game. You got that stinger in his shoulder. Well, Darvin Ham can't do anything about that. Darvin Ham can't do anything about Rui having an awful playoff series. Darvin Ham can't do anything about D'Angelo Russell have a good game, have a bad game, have a good game, have a bad game, that kind of continued trend. Darvin Ham can't also do anything about his bench. Does some of this team, should some of the blame fall on the ownership and on the front office? Of course it should. Rob Pelinka has a lot to do with the construction of the roster and who's on the team and everything else. So I get that. Darvin Ham, it's not all on him, but he had blind spots as well. That Darvin Ham did not, I think, completely shine in his role. I think there were moments where you questioned substitution, starting lineups, your strategy, your plan B, C, D, and E. Are you getting... Did it feel like one coach is playing chess and you're playing checkers? I think those are all fair, too. One game you have two timeouts left and a review that you don't use. Another game you have no reviews left nor any timeouts when you could use them. So I think managing games was always going to be a question mark with Darvin Ham. But ultimately, he loses his job with the Los Angeles Lakers, and the Lakers are obviously going to move on. And now the job search begins of what the Lakers are going to eventually do. By the way, final score, 121-117. So the Knicks, even though it seemed like Indiana led that entire game, the Knicks get game one against the Pacers. They win that game by four, so something to keep in mind there as we continue to there's going to be another game coming up. It's the Timberwolves and the Nuggets a little bit. Actually, that game is about to start. Keep you guys posted on that score in that game as well. Okay. Who are the Lakers? Who are they going to target as their next head coach? So, I don't want to. And I listen. I got notes here to do 5 hours of a show, but I'm going to pause for a quick second to start talking about who the Lakers should hire as their next coach. The Lakers do have a problem, and their biggest problem right now is things are not allowed to marinate. That the Lakers are so quick to turn over the roster, to turn over the coach, to turn over the entire coaching staff. They're so quick to, basically it's LeBron and Anthony Davis. Those are the only two things that are guaranteed, and everything after that is up in the air. That's pretty much been the case since LeBron got here. Every player that's been on this team, there's a constant of, well, let's roll the dice again. There's a constant, let's hit refresh and hope that it works this time. And look, the Lakers put together a roster in 2019-2020 that was as good as any team, and they eventually won an NBA championship, and it was damn impressive. That was a really, really good team. I think everybody thought that that team, with the depth that they had, the veterans that they had, there's a lot that went into why the Lakers were so successful in that 2019-2020 season, and I've got no problem giving that front office a lot of the credit there. But here's a bigger question right now that I think is the problem that the Lakers are going to have to juggle. Do they know what they want? Do they know what kind of coach they want? Do they know exactly what they're looking for? Is it simply as much, well, if LeBron wants this, then we're just going to go with what LeBron says? I think the bigger question right now is, do you have confidence that the front office is going to choose the right coach? Forget the candidates for a quick second. Forget them. Budenholzer, Monty Williams, I've heard his name thrown around. Ty Lue's name has come up, even though I think most people think he's going to end up staying with the Clippers. Becky Hammond, I could go through just a long list of names of players, or I'm sorry, of coaches that could potentially coach the Los Angeles Lakers. Here's, I think, the bigger question. Do they know what they're looking for? There was an article that came out that the Lakers, six coaches in 13 years. That does not give me confidence that the next coach that the Lakers hire is going to be the right coach. The evidence that I have for that is the six coaches in 13 years. How can you allow anything to work by recycling that many coaches year in and year out, where you're basically saying you have a coach and every, let's call it 2 years and change, there's a different coach? How's that possible? How are you going to allow, and I'm going to continue to emphasize it, even if you were not a fan of Darvin Ham, or maybe you didn't like Frank Vogel, or maybe you look back and Luke Walton wasn't the right guy, all right, well, what makes you think that the next coach that the Lakers have is going to have a 5, 7, 8, 10-year run with the Los Angeles Lakers? Maybe it's just maybe this is kind of just the world that we're in where you want to see success right away. And if that success isn't there, you're so quick to say, well, let's try something different. Let's try something different. And I get there's a lot of pressure on the Los Angeles Lakers and the organization, but forget the pressure. Forget the, well, this player wants that guy, so I got to go get – just try to find the right coach. You know, I think there is something about thinking in the present and thinking in the future. And this is what I want to spend a little bit of time on. I do think the bigger question is, do we have confidence that that front office is going to hire the right person? Because up to this point, look at the Lakers over the last 13 years. That is not something to be proud about. Nobody is going to be proud about 6 head coaches in the span of 13 years, and Darvin Ham gets 2 years. And even with some success, listen, he made it to the Western Conference Finals. Whether you thought Darvin Ham was a great coach or you thought he was an awful coach, made it to the Western Conference Finals. Eventually this year they had an even better record than they did a year ago. I would argue that he could have done a better job in the regular season, so they weren't in the position that they were in. But this next head coach, I do believe, falls on the back of your front office. If we're sitting here 2 years from now, I don't want to be hearing, well, that head coach just wasn't good enough. What we should be hearing is, that's the responsibility of your front office. You can't just look at your head coach and say he failed or he succeeded. Or you look at a player, that player failed or he succeeded. Well, somebody's on top of all that that's putting all the pieces together. Those recipes, they got to jive. They got to fit. They got to taste right. And that's obviously up to Rob Pelinka in the front office. Lakers Talk is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Rush into your neighborhood Valvoline and let the expert technicians make sure your ride is in peak performance. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and game-winning coupons. Okay, we'll do a couple things here when we come back. One, I got some sound here from Sham Sharania, and I also have some sound from Brian Windhorst talking about some potential Laker coaches. Plus, I want to spend a little time, you know, getting a chance to watch these playoffs and specifically the Western Conference. The Lakers might be even further than we thought. Maybe this isn't just they ran into the Denver Nuggets. There might be a couple teams better than the Nuggets that are still in the Western Conference. So we'll do that as well coming up next. Stay right here. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
All right, a couple NBA games going on. One just finished. That's the Knicks over the Indiana Pacers. So they're up 1-0 in the Eastern Conference semifinals. And then Nuggets taking on hosting the Minnesota Timberwolves. What a game that was on Saturday. Really, really exciting game. So this is what's interesting about the Timberwolves taking a 1-0 lead, which, to be honest with you, I'm not shocked with. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Minnesota ends up beating the Denver Nuggets. And I don't think you want to get too I want to get too dramatic on it. They are still the Denver Nuggets. They are the defending champs. But I'm going to tie this back to the Lakers here in just a second. I got a chance to watch, like we all did, Lakers-Nuggets. A couple things stood out to me. It's like, all right, yep, Jamal Murray is a killer, and he hits big-time shots one game two and he won game five. Nikola Jokic, unbelievable. Aaron Gordon picks his spots. Michael Porter Jr., I don't think missed a shot in five games. KCP, just a warrior out there, will do whatever a team needs to win. They had no bench against the Lakers, and there were a lot of these games they didn't even play all that smooth or solid. I actually think Denver was really lucky to close that series out in five. If Lakers are just able to get game two or game five, that series being extended, the health of Jamal Murray more in question. KCP turned his ankle in game five. They'd be coming back to Crypto.com Arena. That was going to be, I think, a really tough environment, and more pressure would have mounted on Denver. The point I'm trying to make is this. For all those that say, well, Lakers would have been fine if they just avoided the Denver Nuggets, Minnesota could very easily represent the Western Conference in the NBA Finals. And the reason why I'm bringing it up this point, Travis and I have talked about this before, and we talked about it in the morning. If you go look at the Western Conference right now, which trajectory do you see these teams going in? And a lot of it right now, if you look at the Western Conference, a lot of it comes down to, are you young? Are you on the up and up? Are you well ahead of schedule? Are you walking into your prime? Are you not even close to your prime, but you're already kind of starting to take over the NBA? If I told you that here are the teams that I feel like their trajectory is downward, and a lot of that is going to depend on what happens in the offseason, but I don't think too many people are looking at the Phoenix Suns and saying, you know what, that squad, you just wait till next year. Why would it change next year? I don't think many people are looking at the Golden State Warriors and saying, oh, Golden State. I mean, that team is only getting younger and smaller, or only getting older and smaller. Watch out for the Warriors next year. Of course their trajectory is going down. Again, I don't know what they're going to do in the offseason. The Lakers is an easy one. Their trajectory is at best staying the same. And when I get to the teams where their trajectory is going up, I think that will tell a little bit of where the Lakers are sitting today and how far they are from really truly competing for a championship. I'm not talking about, you know, can you make it to the second round of the playoffs? I'm talking about can you actually, when the dust settles, are there three, four teams that you're like, yep, those are the three, four teams that got a legitimate chance of winning an NBA championship. Let me keep going down the list. I think the Phoenix Suns, I think the Golden State Warriors, I think the Los Angeles Lakers, and I think the Los Angeles Clippers. All four of those teams have something in common. They all got players that are past their prime and have some players, too, that you have questions about availability for. They got a lot of question marks. And did those four teams or players from those teams, KD, Steph, Kawhi, LeBron, did all those guys at one point used to run the league? Of course they did. But, okay, over time, things change. And that's what's happening right now in the Western Conference. Here are the teams that are up and coming right now. Denver's already on top. There's nothing to talk about the Denver Nuggets. Their trajectory is only going up, and they got a true chance to, you know, over these next couple of years to win another championship. Maybe it's this year, maybe it's not this year, but that's how good they are. Minnesota Timberwolves, their trajectory is no question about it going up. And, oh, by the way, their best player, one of the best players in the NBA, is 22 years old, and Anthony Edwards. And they got a lot of other pieces, too. It's not just Ant, but you see where he's going. Does anybody think that the trajectory of the Oklahoma City Thunder is not going up? Here's another thing to keep in mind with the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think the Lakers are a bad matchup for the Thunder. I do believe that. And I think there's a lot of people that would agree with that. All right, well, the Thunder are the youngest team in the NBA. They got how many draft picks over the next 5, 6, 7 years? What makes you think that by next year they're not going to address the size that they need, or they're not going to address bringing a veteran in so that now they have a true chance of competing for a championship? Those are just three teams that I mentioned. But you can go down the list. The Dallas Mavericks trajectory is certainly going up. They can be in the Western Conference Finals. I think the trajectory of the Pelicans, Memphis Grizzlies will get Ja Morant back next year. Houston was It's a dogfight playing the Rockets, and they only got to be feeling more confident about themselves. Wembanyama in the Western Conference, and I'm sure there's some teams that I probably missed out. That's a lot of teams in the West where it feels like their trajectory is going up, or they're, you know, at their peak, or they're entering their peak. And the Lakers don't seem like a team right now that obviously are heading in that direction. So something to keep in mind here. I want to play a quick soundbite here. Shams Charania of The Athletic was doing his show. They do a show. I think it's called Run It Back TV. And Shams on who the Lakers will interview. Take a listen.
Extensive coaching search beginning most likely this week. The top candidates, Mike Budenholzer, former championship head coach of the Bucks, Kenny Atkinson, J.J. Redick, Charles Lee, and Ty Lue is really the big name if he's available. Obviously, the Clippers want to keep him, want to extend him. He has 1 year left on his deal with the Clippers. But whoever the Lakers hire for this job, the task will be competing for a championship. Not the playoffs, not the conference finals, but a championship around LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And this is one of the most high-powered jobs in the league. A lot of expectations will be on whoever that next head coach is. And really, a lot of the things that the Lakers felt Darvin Ham just did not do at the highest of levels, rotations, adjustments, game plans, I think they're going to look for someone that can really command that locker room. So those are the names. The process begins likely this week.
All right, that's Shams Charania. We come back. Let's get Kobe Price on here, who covers the Los Angeles Lakers for the OC Register. So we'll get his thoughts on some of the different candidates that are out there for the Lakers. Also, just a quick reminder, Lakers Talk is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Rush into your neighborhood Valvoline. Let the expert technicians make sure your ride is in peak performance. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and game-winning coupons. Kobe Price coming up next.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Another half hour left here at Lakers Talk. Kobe Price. Want to welcome Kobe Price in, who covers the Los Angeles Lakers for the OC Register. Kobe, what's going on, brother? How are you doing?
What's up, Alan? I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. I know it's been, a week ago today, Lakers eliminated. I'm sure you're writing story after story. I don't think it was a surprise, but I'll start off with this one. Lakers obviously end up firing Darvin Ham on Friday afternoon. I'm curious.
Yeah.
I think everybody, it felt like we all saw it coming, but your best way you could properly explain, how much blame did you put on Darvin Ham as we kind of turn the page and start talking about potential candidates? What was it fair, do you think, for him to get fired over 2 years? And if it's not fair, that's fine too. That's just part of the league, the NBA, and being a coach of the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, fair, unfair. I think sometimes we get so caught up in that. The fact of the matter was that, it seemed like things just, it's just kind of eroded more so from in terms of the belief in the, from the locker room and like in the coach. And when that's not as present or was present in the ways that it was down the stretch of this season, regardless of how well you think the coach is doing or how they contribute to the issues or maybe the solutions for the team, once that trust or once that, that belief, I'll call it, is not there in that way, then fair or unfair, that's just, that's going to be the end result a lot more often than not, especially when you're talking about a team that is, looking to contend for a title, looking to contend in the West. Did Darvin deserve a fair share of the criticism or blame for how the season went? Absolutely. But he wasn't the only reason why the Lakers, were a first round out instead of, second round or conference finals or maybe even beyond that. He wasn't the only reason, and even regardless of who they hire as the next head coach, they're going to have other issues to address outside of just the coach. But that doesn't mean that he didn't have his faults in the process as well.
Cole, what do you make of, and I know you haven't been covering this specific team for 10 years, but just your knowledge in the NBA, being around the NBA for a long time, what do you make of a franchise that has had six different head coaches in 13 years? And if I took out the name Los Angeles Lakers, I just said, hey, there's a franchise in the league that has gone through this X amount of coaches over this span of time.
Right.
What would you think? Does it surprise you that the Lakers have ran through this many coaches? And what's your thought of a franchise that has had that a part of their history?
I mean, it sounds like to me, when I hear that, I think of a team or organization that struggled with finding a consistent formula of success. And that's the first thing that comes to my mind. You know, usually when you're an organization or a team, whatever, that you have a formula for success, or you found, you know, some sort of something to lean on, you don't have to go through that many coaches in such a short period of time. Look across the league, look across the teams that we're looking at right now that's currently playing, you know, in the playoffs in the second round. Yes, some of them have gone through rebuilds or, you know, restructuring, retooling, whatever what have you. But it's not like they're going through coaches at that rate. You know, you said, what, six and 13 years? That's basically a coach every 2.5 years, basically. Every 2 to 2.5 years. And that's just simply troubling. It's just troubling just because building a culture, building a program, it comes also with having the right coach to lead said squad for however many years. But to have that, it does sound troubling. It also, I guess, take comfort in knowing that they don't want to deal with mediocrity, but how, you know, if you're finding that, having to go through that many coaches, how well is your coaching search as well?
Kobe Price covers the Los Angeles Lakers for those who registered joining Lakers Talk here. What is your confidence level? You kind of just think about the front office, but what's your confidence level that they're going to find the right person for the job? And how much of it do you think is accommodating to LeBron and his timeline potentially in the NBA for another couple of years? How much of it is this is the coach that can lead the Lakers for the present and could also lead the Lakers for the future?
Well, I mean, in terms of the timeline for LeBron, the one thing that I guess maybe helps in this regard is that in some ways the Lakers timeline is LeBron's timeline, just from the standpoint of, you know, when LeBron's no longer around. Well, first off, like, they're looking to compete for a championship, just like LeBron is. And, you know, the main thing Rob Pelinka says is they're trying to get number 18 up there, right? So if that's they have a similar timeline in that sense in terms of with LeBron. And as long as LeBron's on the team and the organization, the priority is going to be contending for a championship, or at least that's the goal of each season. Or at least that's what it should be. In terms of accommodating LeBron, I mean, I'm sure that he'll be part of the process, be cued in. You know, obviously he could become a free agent if he opts out of his player option. He could, of course, resign with the team. So there is going to be some sort of investment on his part to see what the coaching direction goes to. But I think this is about finding the right coach to help this team, help this organization to its goal, and that's winning another championship. Like, that's what they're about. That's what they say they're about. That's what they try to do year in and year out, even if they don't succeed. And that's ultimately what I would imagine they're going to look like. Who can obviously, like, help the progress of the organization, help on the court, but also just what coach could be the most likely to help this team contend for a championship.
Kobe, any names that you've heard that sound interesting to you or you feel like would be a good fit?
I mean, there are a handful. I mean, I think most of them have been said already. Obviously, like Mike Budenholzer, David Edelman, who the Nuggets lead assistant coach. Kind of even go on down. There's Charles Lee.
Assistant for Boston's the Celtics.
Lead assistant. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Boston's lead assistant. So there are a number. I mean, those are just three off the top of my head right there. There are other ones, obviously. Like, I know even coaches on other – like, head coaches on other teams, obviously Ty Lue is, like, one of, like, the quote-unquote sure. dream hire. But, I mean, there's a lot of different – coaches who could fit this job well, in my estimate or in my view. It's just, I mean, they have to go through the interview process and just kind of see where these coaches are at. I mean, I know some people are just kind of like maybe not do another first-year coach. So, I mean, those can go up and down, but I think they have to be open-minded in terms of which coach, you know, should be the one to lead the program, because sometimes, you know, you want to lean on, I guess, the more established names. Like Mike Budenholzer is obviously one of the, you know, one of the more, I think he would be the most, established or most successful head coaches in terms of who would be available to Lakers in this hiring cycle. But just because someone's had previous success from before doesn't always mean they're going to be the best, you know, best for the next job. And we've seen that, you know, across throughout the league.
Yeah, I wonder if they would go back to a first-time coach, head coach. I mean, we've heard J.J. Redick's name be thrown around a little bit, and that's not even, hey, I've been an assistant for X amount of years. So, well, we'll see, you know, what strategy they take. I spent a little time, right before you came on, I was talking a little bit about how just kind of looking at the rest of the Western Conference. I mean, Minnesota, it's not even that they're up 1-0 against Denver, but they could easily represent the Western Conference. Dallas is a team that's up and coming. Denver is already a championship team and right in the middle of it. But look past that, and it's the Oklahoma City Thunder, the trajectory of where teams like the Pelicans are going. I think Houston's on the up and up. Memphis will get Ja Morant back. San Antonio Spurs, I kind of go down the list here. There seems to be teams that are just aging, getting older, and these other teams in the Western Conference that are new, they're fresh, they're young, and they're just kind of either walking into their prime or they're years away from their prime and they're just well ahead of schedule. What do you make of the Lakers' talent? Because I think you could bring in any coach that you want, bring in Phil Jackson, Greg Popovich, the greatest coaches. Talent, obviously, a big deal. How far do you think the Lakers are, and how much of a concern is that going into next year, knowing that, I know we're a ways away from it, but just knowing that, look at the other competition in the West. The West just, there's so many good teams and so many good young players.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of said it. There are so many teams that finish below the Lakers that you figure will either improve or have a good chance of improving. I mean, just think about the teams that finished below the Lakers in the standings. The Pelicans, the Kings, like I said, Houston.
That's right, I forgot
Memphis.
Sacramento.
Yes, I mean, Sacramento, like, they were one game behind the Lakers in the standings, and they beat the Lakers
4-0
all four times.
Right.
What does San Antonio, like, what's San Antonio's priority this offseason? I mean, we just, you know, he got crowned Rookie of the Year in Victor Wembanyama. He seems like he's a guy that's going to be, you know, a major name in this league for a while. So, doesn't seem like the Lakers, they don't seem that far. I mean, this is assuming LeBron James does come back. But you have LeBron James, Anthony Davis, you know, Austin Reeves. Like, there's a lot of talent on this Lakers roster. That's what makes the past season so, and the ups and downs of it so confusing and frustrating, at least internally, I would imagine for many externally, is because the talent's there. Like, there is established talent. Well-established talent, one of the most established talents in the league in LeBron, especially coming back. So the talent's there. It's just about, you know, finding that direction, finding harmonizing around that talent. So they're not far. I mean, even when they lost 4-1 in that in the first-round series, we saw that they're not that far off, just from a talent perspective, away from, you know, other top teams in the West. I mean, that's what made the West so – interesting this year is that, you know, as much talent as there is, it was very jumbled up. And the Lakers had success against, you know, a young, talented team like OKC. You know, they played, you know, they like I said, 4-1 series, but they, you know, fought against the defending champion Denver Nuggets. You know, the Clippers, obviously, they played well against. So they're not that far, but they have to find they need to find their formula. They need to find their formula to have a consistent level of success and not be so up and down like it was this past season.
Kobe Price covers the Lakers for the OC Register, joining me here on Lakers Talk. Kobe, you know, it's funny, your interaction and getting your opportunity to be around the players and be around the coaching staff and everything else, I'm sure you develop relationships and everything that comes with that. D'Lo had D'Lo, an interesting season, right? Once January 1st came, he was fantastic. He was clutch for the Lakers. He was a big reason why I think we all felt like the season got turned around. And then playoffs start, and there was going to be a lot of question marks around D'Angelo Russell just because of the way the playoffs ended last year for him. What did you make of his postseason specifically? And I guess the other question I have is, do you think he wants to stay in L.A.? Or do you think D'Angelo Russell is looking at, hey, if I could just get an opportunity somewhere else, let me get the hell out of the spotlight of Los Angeles and try to just play basketball? Because I felt like no matter what he did and what he accomplished, obviously there was a lot of eyes on him, and that comes with the territory of being a point guard for the Lakers. But what did you make of his playoffs, and what if you could kind of envision what you think happens with him in the offseason?
I think, you know, his series against, I mean, I guess they're only going based off one series in terms of his postseason. If you compare it to last postseason, or I guess how last, the last series against the Nuggets went in the Western Conference Finals in May 2023, I mean, it wasn't as bad as last year, but it was still disappointing, especially when we saw, you know, the stretch that he had from mid-January or early January all the way through the end of the season. And even he came up big in those wins over the Pelicans to close out the regular season and also in the play-in game. So to see him go from that to, you know, he really struggled in most of the games in the first round series lost to the Nuggets. You know, it was really what game two, where he had a really strong performance, and I guess, you know, even game four.
Game two is where he hit the 7 threes. Game four is when he had the 21 points and maybe 5 or 6 dimes, something like that.
Yeah, so it was, I mean, it was definitely better, but it was still, he still had those standout performances, but it was still so up and down. I mean, he struggled mightily in game one, and I think what game three was the 0-for-7, 0-for-6. Yeah, 0-for-7 from the field, 0-for-6 on threes.
Game three, 0 points.
Yeah, so the up and downs what's concerning. So like I said, it was better, but still disappointing because when you know you have that level of player, you just want to see it more consistently and not see such a roller coaster in the performances throughout a series. In terms of what he wants, I mean that'll be shown. In terms of just how this offseason's handled or how he handles his player option, you know, he could opt in and simply return to Lakers and, you know, give it another shot. He could opt out to us on a longer-term deal. I think we'll see based off of, I guess, his decision. I think June 29th is the deadline, so still have a little bit over a month and a half to go, but I think it would – it could benefit both sides if he returns, but I could also see both sides also having reasons for why they may think that, I guess, the separation would also be helpful as well.
Well, let's just say it will be a busy offseason. We'll start with trying to figure out who the next head coach is going to be for the Lakers, and then over time here we'll figure out the players as well. Kobe, always appreciate it, buddy. Thank you for taking the time and joining the show.
Absolutely. Appreciate you.
All right, that's Kobe Price right there, Lakers reporter for the OC Register, taking some time to join the show. Okay, when we come back, we got crunch time. DeAndre and Funches are going to chime in. Plus, we'll talk about these NBA playoffs going on as well. How about Minnesota? Did I see this right already? They were up 16. We'll spend a little time on that as well. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. What do we got, Funches?
What's up, Slee?
What's going on, buddy? How are you?
Good, man. Good.
I keep looking at this Timberwolves Nuggets score. What's going on here? What happened?
Minnesota is just that good. And I did not believe it. We were talking about this in a break. Minnesota is that good.
Okay, so Gobert not playing.
Mm-hmm.
So he's out for, I think it was the birth of his, is it?
Yes.
Birth of his kid. I didn't see if it was son or his daughter. They're still up 45-28. All right, am I crazy here, or is the Nuggets thing? Nuggets, they're a little fortunate to have beat the Lakers as quick as they did.
Yeah.
Because if that series prolonged, I got no idea how Jamal Murray's health is, but he's 1 of 9 so far in this game.
The Nuggets are kind of getting exposed right now.
Wow.
Seriously.
That is crazy. Okay, what do you got? We'll do a couple NBA stories here.
Yes, as we know, the Clippers got eliminated again by the Dallas Mavericks.
I popped my champagne on Friday. Why? I don't even know why I care. I still don't know
They
why
have
I
a
care.
Lot of question marks going to the offseason as they go into that brand new arena next season. Paul George has a player option, and he could opt in for another $49 million or whatever, and he has
or restructure his deal, right?
That's
so he
right.
can sign longer term there,
and he has that decision until I think June 30th.
Okay.
And James Harden is an unrestricted free agent as well. Russell Westbrook might not be back as well. There's also some other teams that might want Paul George's services should he become a free agent.
All right, here's what I do if I'm Paul George, and I think my gut will tell me I think he wants to stay in SoCal.
Yeah.
Right. So I think he wants to stay in Southern California. So I think most likely he's going to stay with the Clippers. However, can I throw out a couple things here?
Yes, sir.
What's going to change next year with the Clippers? Is anything going to change?
I don't know.
I mean, are they all of a sudden going to – are things going to turn around?
They don't have first-round picks. They have no picks because of Paul George, obviously.
Yep.
And,
yep.
Yeah, they don't. I don't think they have a lot of cap space.
I think it's cool that they're moving into a new arena. But if anybody thinks – I mean, I was doing it early in the show – if I told you that these guys are all a stock, are the Suns stock going up or down?
I think going down.
Are the Warriors stock going up or down?
Going down.
Does anybody think the Clippers stock is going up or is it going down?
I don't
down?
Think so. I don't think it's going up
down.
At all, no.
I think it's going down as well. Can I throw a random team that's got some extra money for the offseason?
What's that?
This is a random one. What about if he goes to the Orlando Magic?
There you go.
Mm.
What if he goes and gets paid by the Orlando Magic? Now you're all of a sudden playing with all these young players. You can be Paul George. Nobody's going to ask you to be anything other than Paul George. By the way, being in the Eastern Conference, doesn't that just seem like a breath of fresh air of all the talent that the West
has? You're adding Paul George to that Orlando Magic team already. It might be a top three team in the East.
Here's the only problem. If you're chasing a chip, I don't think it's going to happen in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know of any of these situations where he can put himself in, get paid, and really have a chance at a chip. Okay, let's say he's in Philly with Embiid. I don't know how sold I am on that team either.
Yes.
I don't know. Are they one of the top teams in the East? Yeah. But are you sold that there's a path there over Boston or something? I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
And that's the other team I wanted to talk about. They got eliminated by the Knicks over the weekend. They only have three players under contract for next season. Paul Reed, Embiid, and possibly Tyrese Maxey whenever they resign him to a big deal. So out is going to be Tobias Harris, Kyle Lowry, Buddy Hield, Kelly Oubre, Nicholas Batum, Cameron Payne, DeAnthony Melton. All those guys could be gone.
That's a whole team.
That's a whole team. And they could have up to $60 million up in the cap space and also a first-round pick. Guys like Paul George, DeMar DeRozan, Pascal Siakam, Klay Thompson are going to be available. So what should they do?
I don't feel good about Philly just because of Embiid and his health and everything else. And they got to surround. You can't win with one star on your team. So they got to find a way to get a star. I mean, I'm going after Paul George. I'm going after any big-time free agents that are available, and they got the money to at least bring them in. If you get PG with Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid, I forgot about Maxey. How could I forget? I'll take my chances with that squad.
What if you get like two like really solid players like a DeMar DeRozan and a Klay Thompson, surround them with Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid?
I don't know about DeRozan.
Problem is they don't have wings. They need wings.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There are a couple wings,
Just think about Orlando. Like, those are too small. Those are.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah, because he didn't
want to. Think about Orlando size. Think about use Boston size with Tatum and Brown. It's going to be interesting what they do, but all these teams are chasing. By the way, DeAndre, can you do me a favor? Pull your shirt up just a little bit. What do we got over there? Rocket, look at that.
Got that Bob Marley. Come on now.
Some Rasta colors on the show. Welcome. Welcome.
That's
a solid shirt right there. All right. Well, let's see what they end up doing. I'm still kind of thrown off here by the 52-30 score. Minnesota up 22 points against the Denver Nuggets right now. I would not have called that one. Well, technically, I did call that one, but I did not think that they would be up 0-2 if they end up winning this game. And who knows? Maybe they're making this a short series here. So, Funch, I don't want to sound too dramatic here. I thought Denver, this was a must-win for them. I did not think they could fall 0-2 and then go back to Minnesota. They're down 24 points.
Yeah.
They're falling, though, too. The question is just going to be...
How are they going to respond, too?
Yeah, the question is going to be, is it going to be in the next hour or hour and a half? I think that's the only question.
How about Anthony Edwards looking like Jordan?
I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him yet tonight. Obviously, we're doing the show, but you know, there's something about that player. And I know there's a lot of comparisons of him right now, which is completely not fair, but you're hearing a lot of people bring up the Jordan comparison. I just, the only thing I really compare, or I really care about, he's only 22 years old. He's already got that that killer instinct in him. You know what I mean? He's already got that, yeah, I'm trying to take out these. I mean, he's saying it. He's talking about, yeah, Kevin Durant was one of my favorite players. I love taking him out of the playoffs. It's like, damn, hold up.
And he has, like, so much charisma. You can't, like, help but cheer for him.
Nah, I'm not disagreeing with you on that one. I'm not disagreeing. Okay, good stuff, Funches. I know we're coming to end of the show here. A couple quick reminders here. So now that the season is over, we'll be back to Monday night. So I know sometimes the show shifts when the Lakers used to have a game on a Monday. But back to every Monday night, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. So make sure you hang out with us here. And also we'll be doing the shows for the most part on YouTube as well, so you can hang out with us there as well. We'll continue to, you know, obviously talk Lakers basketball on all the shows. Thank you to Michael Funches, Mario Ruiz, DeAndre Hawkins, and Cody Liu, LA, as always. Appreciate you guys hanging out. If you want the podcast, go download it on ESPN LA. Thanks, LA.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.